Father, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today's title is Protecting the Warrior's Heart. Turn to Ephesians 6. We will start in verse 12 and read to the end of the Bible.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
No, Ephesians. We're gonna be here for a while.
Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 15. I just wanted to see if you guys are with me. It's like I already saw it. Open rebellion. All right, Ephesians 6, starting verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, last week we saw that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that this truth, if we put it on and girdle it around our lives, it will keep us from falling and tripping, right? We also know that the Word of God is true. And so if we have the person of Jesus Christ and we have His Word, both bear witness one with another, we should be able to live in a life filled without, hear me, filled without hypocrisy. Okay? Because if you live in truth, if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, He is truth. And if we allow our lives to be saturated with His life, His truth, they will see Him through us. And to live in truth is not only a life, but it keeps His name, His integrity sure, and it keeps our testimony of Christ unblemished. And that's really what it's all about here, guys. It's not us preaching truth at people, but living truth in front of people. When they see how much we love God and God loves each other through our actions and all, they're going to come to want to know what it is that we're about. And that's when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We also learned last week that we're dealing in an invisible realm. Satan's ploy is to keep us focused on one another so that when an offense or a tragedy happens, or when we hurt one another, we're focusing on the abuse and the abuser. Abuser. Not the one who has perpetrated the actual crime, and that is Satan, the devil, and his minions. And so what we want to do today is learn that we have to protect our heart. And the only way that we're going to be able to protect our heart is put on the breastplate of righteousness or maintaining our posture in Jesus Christ. Amen? What does this breastplate of look like? Well, in ancient Roman times, they used to have this. We've seen all the movies. You know, I've seen Ben-Hur, and I've seen, you know, Cleopatra and all those movies, and how these Roman soldiers, from the neck to the tops of their thighs, they had this breastplate. And this breastplate enveloped them totally so that nothing could pierce them. The armor was made out of leather and metal. And the whole design was to keep your lungs, your heart, and your kidneys safe from being penetrated. Because once there was penetration, there could be certain death or definite injury. Take you out of the battle. So what we have to do is learn that this is the most vital area of our lives. Not only do we have truth that's girded around us, but we have to protect our heart and our breath so that God can do something in our lives. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Within each and every one of us, there are things that we value in life. And in those things that we value in life, we should value truth above all things. We should try to keep truth as the element in our lives so that we can walk in the reality or walk in the light of what God has told us to walk in. If we don't walk in the light, then we're susceptible to heart conditions such as being wounded. We can be wounded in our heart, according to Psalms 12:2. We can have a hard heart or a heart that's not filled with compassion, according to Proverbs 28:14. Or a proud heart, according to Proverbs 21:4. The worst thing we can do, and this is relevant to a lot of Christians, is having an unbelieving heart, according to Hebrews 3:12. Most Christians don't believe because they don't really know God. And we have to not have a heart filled with unbelief. Or a cold heart, according to Matthew 24:12. And worse yet, having an unclean heart, according to Psalms 51:10. All these heart conditions are created because we are not dressed in the armor of Christ. And because we are not dressed in the condition, they are all designed to cause us to fall away from Jesus Christ. Absolutely. You see, righteousness, the righteousness that we need from Christ, is not contained within us. It is not natural to our condition or our attributes. Our righteousness is but filthy rags, according to Isaiah 64. And if we think that we're good enough, and we think that God will accept us for where we're at, Romans 3 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. So all of us have this condition within our own lives that we can't earn this thing to be right with God. So how does this happen? How do we obtain this righteousness, and how do we maintain it to keep ourselves from being injured, yet exhibiting Jesus Christ? Righteousness literally means to have right standing or a right position with God. And I want to add that is a right position in God. You see, you're either in God or you're not. This is very elementary to those of us that have been discipled and really heard the Word of God for any length of time. It's kind of like when you go out into a storm, you're either going to be in the under the umbrella or you're not going to be under the umbrella. The umbrella protects you from the assault of the weather. Outside of that, you are assaulted by the weather, right? And it's really that simple. In Christ or out of Christ. Vance Havner says, our righteousness is the good that is not good enough. You see, when we think we're good, we're still bad. Jesus came to earth to solve a dilemma for God, because God is righteous. Everything about God and who God is righteous. His law is righteous. His commandments are righteous. Even his judgments are righteous. And Jesus came and solved the dilemma of a righteous God trying to make a people unrighteous righteous. And so what he did was he sent Jesus on the cross, because our unrighteousness, our sin, is that we have rebelled against God. We have done our own thing before God and before man. And then what happens is when it doesn't go right, we blame God for our difficulties. That's the truth. I know I'm guilty. I blamed him before I came, the knowledge of Christ. No matter what we do, we can't help enough little old ladies across the street. We can't earn enough merit badges. We can't do enough good things to earn God's righteousness or earn a position in God that would make us better. Just because I'm pastor doesn't make me any better than you. I am susceptible to failure just like everyone else is. And I praise God for your prayers and the prayers of the Lord. And by his grace, I'm able to stand here before you. Jesus died on the cross, not only to pay for the crimes of our rebellion, but also to make the way for us that every person who wants to come to God comes through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's why I say when you come to Christ, your life is done at the cross. From the cross on, you are somebody different. You are not the same person, or at least you should not be the same person as you were the first day that you believed. Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements of God's law for us, that as we believe, we accept His finished work on the cross. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we stand before God in Jesus Christ, our faith in Christ, what He has done, as not guilty. That is an awesome thing. You see, it's an exchange that we're incapable of doing. All we have to do is believe. And this is really hard for a lot of Christians today. They believe this, they believe that, but they still have Jesus plus this, and it's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus. Doing what Jesus has told us to do, that's it. You know? And so it becomes real difficult when we try to understand this stuff. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, is then imputed to us. The moment we believe, Jesus takes our unrighteousness, our unrighteous rags, and He gives us His righteousness. We have to be found in His righteousness. Because only Jesus is able to stand before the Father. He's the only one, and we saw in Revelation, He stood before the Father. He was the one who took the seal. He was the one that broke the seals. He's the one that's coming again to judge the nations. And you're either in Christ or you're not. For us in Christ, we are going to come back with Him and judge the nations. But it is not a righteousness that I have. I have a righteousness that God freely gives to me. And because of His righteousness, He now is able to work in me all that He wants me to be in Jesus Christ. Amen? So what do? When we believe, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become a new creation in Him. We are a new person, and this is what I said, you are now not, you're not Becca Boo anymore, you're supernatural Becky Boo. That's true. The person on the inside is now alive to God. Who you're going to be, I don't know, but I know that once we take off this tent, we're going to be just like Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, you already are. Because He's done it all. All we need to do is now get rid of the junk that keeps us from becoming that which God has already created us to be. It's not enough for us to declare that we have been made righteous. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not enough. We must learn now to live it and demonstrate it before people in such a way that our righteousness is not some form of piety, but our righteousness now exudes and exhibits who Jesus Christ is. We must accept it, then appropriate it. And this is where the war begins for us. We can accept the fact that Jesus died on a cross and we're saved. Oh, praise God, I don't have to do anything about that. But somewhere between that point and the point of His return, we get this thought in our minds that we can live our lives exempt from change. And God expects us to change. He expects a transformation of His children. Satan hates you and he hates me. And his job, if you want to call it that, is to keep you from becoming that which God has already created you to be. His nightmare. You see, you have more power contained within you than Satan has to throw at you. Therefore, if we allow him to keep feeding our minds with junk, if we continue to allow the world's view of things to penetrate us, we will still have this stinking thinking. We will then have a stinking life, and we will not be able to transform into the very image of Jesus Christ. If we continue to have friends and family that are compromised or are polluted by destructive ways or are in sin, and we continue to associate with them, they will corrupt us. And so with this righteousness that has been given to us, we need to protect it as much as possible because it protects us. You know, you don't put on armor just to put it on. You put it on to use, but when you're not in war, you need to manage it, maintain it, polish it up, clean it up, fix it. In Jesus Christ, we don't have to do any of that because He has done it for us. The thing we have to understand is that Satan is only able to assault you and me by the ammo we give him. If we're sitting in front of the television set or the computer or whatever and we're feeding junk into our lives, or if we're constantly drinking ourselves into a drunken stupor, or we're in drugs, or we're lusting, or whatever it is that you're struggling with mentally, you're not in the armor of Jesus Christ. You're just not. What you're doing is you're allowing the enemy to come in and assault you and penetrate to destroy your heart by filling your mind up with a bunch of junk. And this is the warfare that we have. The only way we're going to be able to set people free is if we are a free people, truly free people. And in righteousness, right standing with God, we are free. To whom the Son has set free is free indeed. His righteousness is freely given, but it cost Him everything to give it to us. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost your life. You see, the life I now live, I don't live for myself. I live unto God who gave Himself for me. So that I no longer live, but Christ in me lives through me. We do not war from a weak position. Jesus won the victory at the cross for us, and we must appropriate that victory constantly. When Satan says you're a loser, no. God says. It is written. When Satan uses a friend, oh, you're just such a terrible person because of this or that. No. God said, this is how I must be. This is what I must do. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And for us, we're an enemy of the world. And so it's really surprising to some people when they find out that all of a sudden they change and their friends turn on them. You ever had that? They're sticking you in the back. Friends to your face and sticking you in the back. Man, did you hear about that Nolan guy? Man, he and I used to go to the bar all the time. Now he doesn't even want to hang out. Oh, hey, Nolan, how you doing, buddy? Long time no see. You know, you want to... Want to play them video games? Yeah. You choose what's going on. People don't understand it's a relationship with the living God. He's the one who purchased us. He's the one who loved us more than we could love ourselves because we were on a path of self-destruction. And then when we give our lives to God, people don't understand that. Oh, you got religion? Wow. That's what they equate it to, but it's not. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. We have two rules and regulations. What are they, Dan? And it's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take us a lifetime to get two rules done. But with God's grace, we will be successful. Because anything that He makes is a success. You are already a success in God's eyes. When we become born again, the moment we believe, our spirits became regenerated. We're alive to God. We began to start seeing things from a different perspective. We began to start speaking differently. Not only that, we began to start thinking differently. And when we started thinking differently, we started to behave differently. It wasn't because someone told you you had to do it. It was because you were becoming that. And all of a sudden, we got someone who was into the bondage of religion says, "You can't dance. Watch me. I can dance all I want. I'm free in Jesus." "You can't go to the movies to see Nemo. Watch this. I got 3D, dude. I'm gone." Word. Water's heavy. We went and saw Airbender last night. I would have just, if those who have seen the movie, the part where the bay rises up like a wall, I would have just swamped the boats and been done with it. But that was vengeance. It's not Christ-like. You know? But understand that as long as we stay in truth, we maintain the integrity of the family. Whose family are you? I'm the family of God. That's biblical, because the Word talks about us being family. As long as we stay in Jesus Christ, we stay in His righteousness, we stay in His truth, nothing can penetrate. Nothing can hurt us. Devil uses another ploy then. If he can't do a frontal or a rear assault, what he will do, and this is what I've told you before, he will use our environment against us, family, friends, workplace, whatever, because of our commitment to Christ. And he will use our families against us, boyfriends, neighbors, cousins, whatever. And he will assault us personally. Sickness, disease, tribulation. And on top of that, if you really feel strong today, temptation to sin. Woo-hoo! What he is trying to do is trying to get us to react sinfully in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, you will not react. You will respond. Satan will use anybody and everybody to speak evil of you and me. He will use whoever to gossip about you and me. He will cause you such duress in your life that he wants you to focus on us. And not realize that he is playing this insidious game behind. Because remember, the warfare we fight is not against each other. It's against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. The unseen world. And we forget about that. We get into pouting. We get into self-pity. We make accusations against each other. We blame shift each other. We do everything to try to make ourselves look good. And that's called justifying ourselves. Which is wrong. You don't have to justify yourself if you're doing what God has told you to do. And that blows people out. They come and they talk with me, "Pastor, what should I do?" "I don't know. What's God said to you?" "Well, God said this, but what should I do?" What has God said to you? It's really that simple. It's your relationship with God. My job is to help you in your relationship with God. "But you don't understand. I need someone to tell me what to do." Well, let's go to this page. All right, read this verse. All right, you know what to do now. It is written. It is written. "Therefore, no longer be conformed to this world. Be renewed in your minds so that you may know what is the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. Be a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness." The kingdom. We are kingdom people. We are not earthlings anymore. We live here on earth. We are heaven people. Nano, nano. And but this is a hard concept for people because they're not able to transcend their thinking into the heavenlies. My Bible says I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't have to do anything. I'm there. What I need to do is get my thinking from there to here. And then get it out there. And so do you. The only way that something can affect us is if we let it. Satan's whole ploy is to harm us. And if it hits our heart, we don't have the armor on. Well, brother, you offended me. Well, what did I do? What did I say? Well, you did this, this, and this. I repent. I ask for forgiveness. Oh, no, that ain't good enough. What do you mean it's not good enough? You see, we want to exact something that God has already exacted upon Jesus. The only thing we're to exact is, I forgive you. Because if we don't forgive, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. And this is really hard because what happens is we live in this physical realm. We don't think in the spiritual realm that often. And so we allow our situations to dictate to us. And because we don't like our situations or our circumstances because of the decisions that we made, we blame everybody else but ourselves. And the fact of the matter is that God wants us to become responsible. And being a Christian means you take responsibility for your decisions, for your actions, for your thoughts. If my thoughts are not Christ-like, my actions will not be Christ-like. If my thoughts are not Christ-like, my hearing, my speech, the things I do will not be Christ-like. And the problem is, we must learn to become responsive, not reactionary, to the assault that the enemy has. And I mean, you're talking split seconds that people are just lashing out with their tongue, slicing and dicing us. And I was really one of those type of people that, man, I was fast with my tongue. I could slice and dice you and make you mince meat in no time, flat, and walk away and think nothing of it. Now, I'm crushed by even just thinking that I could have done that. How rotten of a person I was. And how great God is to redeem me from that. So what do we do? We put on His righteousness. He freely gives it to us. We put it on. But there has to be something else. And that something else, if you would turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9, is how we think about ourselves. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness, out of sin, into His marvelous light." He chose you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. We responded. And in our response, He has made us a royal priesthood. I don't know anybody who has tasted poverty and then went to the other extreme of opulence and power and wealth that would want to go back to that poverty again. But we have tons of Christians who do that each and every day. They would rather believe the lie that you are paupers and you have no kind of wealth until you get to heaven, when you have everything that pertains to life in Jesus Christ. all heaven, all the power, all the authority of heaven dwells in you now. Whatever your mind can conceptualize by faith and you speak it can happen. God spoke those things as that weren't as though they were, and they became. That same power that our Father has is now dwelling within us, and that if we confess with our mouth, according to Romans 10, and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. But I'd like to take it a step further. If you believe in your heart the dream that God has put in there and confess it with your mouth and begin to work with God in bringing that dream to pass, it shall come to pass. Don't allow the enemy to use people to steal your hopes and your dreams. Don't allow the enemy to assault you and lie to you and tell you you're this wicked person and it'll never happen. It's a lie. Don't allow anybody but Jesus Christ and what He says destroy your heart, penetrate your heart. The more we live in not caring about what the world says about us, what the world thinks about us, what the world does to us, is the freer we become. And the freer we become, the more we're like Jesus. That may be a difficult concept for you to understand, because the freer you are, the more you know that you own everything. Because He created everything. And we're heirs to that. Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose of fulfilling God's will for His life and destroying the works of the devil. He has given that same directive to the church to fulfill the will of God in your life and in my life and destroy the works of the devil. You are filled with all power and authority. What is power? The right to wage war. Authority. The right to use it. Jesus said, come and occupy until He comes back. That word, occupy, is a militaristic word. It means we're going to do battle. And every soul that Jesus brings into the camp, we must care for that soul and build that soul up. We don't build that soul up and then send them out and with splints and band-aids and stuff. We send them out fully armed and equipped to do the terroristic work of the Spirit upon Satan's kingdom. Yeah, we're terrorists in a spiritual sense. But we're here to terrorize principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, to tear down everything that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, He's the only King. This world will come to realize that. His kingdom is not one that is materialistic. His kingdom is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Truth and righteousness always leads us to peace and joy. Because you know who you are and you know how to live, because God is with you, in you, through you. And the key to protecting one's heart is to have this intimacy with truth and to be found in Christ's righteousness. And to be found there, it's the safest place for our heart. Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your righteousness. I thank You, God, that You have brought us to a place of protection and security in You. That You have given us Your very Son. That our lives are hidden in Him, God. We no longer are these sinners, but we are saints, God. We are no longer paupers who own nothing, But God, we are the kings and priests of your kingdom, owners and heirs of everything. God, make this our reality, Lord. May we think and speak and act and do everything that pleases you, God. Renew our mind. Create in us a new heart, God. Forgive us, God, in those areas that Satan has been tempting us. Build us up, God, in our most holy faith in you. Today and every day, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.